Welcome to the Morning Struggle Podcast. I am Jesse.
And I'm Ty, and we bring you habits of successful people. And today we're talking about
pencils.
Let's do it. Activate. This is the first in our series of how to be successful in first grade. You started with crayons, then you go to finger paints, or finger paints and crayons. Then you go to pencils. Next, pens? Are we going to get into pens?
Maybe.
Typewriters? I don't understand this one. You got to help me out.
Well, we had referenced one, actually, in one of our past episodes. We had talked about that we need to do a segment on pencils.
Because so it was the Sanctuary episode.
It was,
you talked about sharpening your pencils. That was your mini ritual.
Yeah.
You sharpen your pencils before a session, and that's your mini ritual. And so I need to talk about pencils.
And you might have been joking.
I was joking.
I'm not.
This was how to be successful at just pencils?
At pencils. Well, and writing it down. Writing utensils.
Right. Oh, any kind of writing utensils. Well, let's...
It's for pencils specifically.
All right. We're talking about like the Dixon's type, number two versus number one. Are we talking about that?
No, we're not talking about that.
We're talking about what happens in your brain when you actually write something down on paper.
Yeah, because I found the exact study that you had referred to before, and you were accurate. Which, do you know how rare that is for people to reference a research? No. For people to reference a research study and have that be accurate to what they actually stated, that is so rare. Trust me, it is so rare. And you did. You referenced it correctly.
Because I'm a snowflake.
No,
you were a diamond in the rough. You heard it here.
But I found it, and it is a fantastic... It's actually a conglomerate of a bunch of studies.
I referenced a study where they determined your cognition versus your memorization on pencil versus computer typing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I referenced that.
Mm-hmm.
I read the study, and then I remembered it. Is that hard? Does that not happen?
Normally not. And the interesting part with this particular group of studies is that it is multiple studies, and you referenced a sliver of a specific one accurately. So you didn't conglomerate them together and then be like, well, they saw this and this and this. That was one study, and then there was another and another and another. And I read through every single one of them, and they were so beautifully put together. Ugh.
Okay, well, here we go. So stand by on how to be successful at pencils. We're going to go through a history of pencils.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to talk about the science of your brain when you smell pencils, or you write with pencils, or you lick the tip of a pencil. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure where she's going with this. We're going to do a coffee segment, and then we're going to do an action plan. All right, let's get right into some history.
This day in history.
Usually my history segments are quirky twists on whatever we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
This is pencil. Legit history of pencils.
Mm-hmm.
This is fast forward 10 minutes if you don't want to know every little tediously important fact about pencils. But
pencils
here we go.
Pencils are amazing.
Yeah. They're not leaded pencils. First of all, get right out of the town. Pencils have graphite in them.
Uh-huh.
The lead actually comes from ancient Greece, which we'll get into. But original pencils, we'll do air quotes, charcoal and chalk, between 40,000 and 10,000 BC. These are the cave drawings. They would take saliva or animal fat and grind it up with some kind of rock dyeing substance.
Oh, uh-huh.
And then charcoal or chalk, and then write on the cave walls.
Nice.
That's where original pencils came from. Now we move forward a little bit into the Roman lead stylus. So in ancient Greece...
And it was
Greece,
legit lead?
Legit. They used lead in their little aqueducts.
So was everybody just poisoned?
Yes, everybody got poisoned in ancient Greece.
What's the symptoms of lead poisoning?
I don't know. You just put me on the spot.
It's bad.
It's super bad and very technical. And I would talk about it here, but it's getting way into the weeds. So the lead pencil comes from ancient Rome. They had a stylus with a lead tip, and they'd scratch into tablets.
Oh.
Then when papyrus, they actually developed it to write on papyrus, like scrolls.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So then they started having a lead stylus on scrolls. And that was kind of, you didn't have to use a secondary ink source like a pen.
Like a
quill pen. You didn't have to do something along those lines. But then the motherlode got hit. Discovery of graphite, or quote-unquote black lead. In the first part of the 16th century, they discovered a large quantity of this solid graphite in Borrowdale in England.
Oh.
They called it plumbago, which is Latin for lead ore. Even though it wasn't lead, it looked like lead. And they used it to line cannonballs, and they used it for their pencils. It became super, super valuable.
Why would you line a cannonball with it?
just because it would go, it's almost like a powdery lubricant. So you put it into the cannon and the cannonball shoots out super slippery.
Oh.
They also use graphite rods in nuclear power plants. There's all sorts of uses for graphite. But the military started using it and it became so protected by England that they had the National Guard, the Crown Guards, guard the mine, and then they'd flood it when they weren't using it so no one else could get the graphite.
This is
how valuable it is.
Holy cow.
Yep. So when we'll talk about that in just a little bit on how we overcame that, because right now it would all be just England with their pencil monopoly, but that's not like that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Latin, the word pencillus means little tail. And that's to describe the artist's fine lead stylus tip.
Little tail.
That's little tail. That's where
adorable.
That's where it came from. Early casings for the graphite pencil included small pieces of sheepskin or string. Have you seen a string pencil?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
And then you just start pulling the string away and you can cut it off and pull the string away.
It's like a fabric-y type.
Yeah, it's got a waxy substance so it stays together.
Yeah.
But then you write and your pencil gets down to the string and you just unravel the string a little bit and you keep writing.
Oh,
that was the original
smart.
The original way. But then in, we'll get into real quick. So the first pen casing, the wood one, was developed by an Italian couple in the early 1560s.
The pen or pencil casing?
The pencil, sorry, the pencil casing.
Okay.
And they just hollowed out a piece of juniper and plugged in a graphite rod.
That's just remarkable and that
it was,
someone...
Yeah, and someone invented that?
Yeah.
And it was oval, so it didn't roll off the table. How smart were these, was this Italian couple?
So
but
great.
They used it for carpenters used it a lot for pencil marking.
Is that why...
flat pencils.
Yes, the flat pencils. Yeah,
yep.
That's what those are. Oh.
Yep. So anyway, so we've got this motherload of graphite in England.
Right.
And then the Napoleonic Wars happened in the late 18th century.
Okay.
And Napoleon says, I need my pencils. I also need graphite for my cannonballs. How are we going to do this? And one of his French army officers, Nicolas Jacques Conté, I think it's Conté, C-O-N-T-E, with no, but there's no little hyphen thing on the E. So whatever his name is, someone write me and let me know. He developed a mixture of clay and graphite powder produced from low-grade graphite and then baked it in an oven, in a kiln. And he came up with the graphite rods. And that was the decentralization of the graphite pencil.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep. And so then you started to grade the graphite based on hardness and blackness.
Hmm.
So that's where you get the HB scale or the number 2 pencil. Number 2 refers to the HB scale, how hard it is. And how black it is.
No kidding.
That's it. So that's why that scale is there. It's not an international scale. It's only American, but we can get into that too.
But the number 2, is that like the most effective at being able to write, but not...
I think it's scantroning. It's the machine that they use to look at it. It's the darkest without being too dark and too smudgy and hard enough, but actually comes off on the paper.
Gotcha.
Anyway, the original pencils were 2 pieces... cut, you know, with the graphite and then glue it together. They did that for 400 years because they couldn't come up with a better option.
Mm-hmm.
But then in 1812, the first American wooden pencils began to be manufactured by William Monroe. He's a cabinet maker from Massachusetts.
Nice.
And then they ended up developing it so you could punch the graphite right through it. So you didn't have to,
bore it out. Even as soft as it is?
I know. These guys, this was the Industrial Revolution era of time.
Right.
They were doing things and... go capitalism, not socialism, like our other episode. But then the Joseph Dixon Crucible Company. You've heard of Dixon pencils. They're the most famous of the pencils.
Yeah,
they developed the first octagonal and hexagonal wooden casings for the pencils.
Oh.
So they wouldn't roll off the table. Those poor school kids in colonial times, they put their pencil on their
table
and
right
roll
off.
Right off. The teachers couldn't get anything done. No wonder it took us forever to invent the iPhone. Our pencils are rolling off our tables left and right. Thank you, Mr. Dixon, for coming up with this way of our pencils today. Then erasers. Erasers were put on pencils.
I am loving every minute of this.
I don't know, 1700s, I want to say. But before that, people used breadcrumbs to scratch the graphite off of whatever paper, whatever they were writing on.
Aww.
And then an explorer, Charles Marie de la Condamine, I don't know.
Nailed it.
He brought Indian rubber back from South America.
Oh.
So, and then he said...
So you can use it as an eraser.
Uh-huh. And they put it on the tip of the pencil. So let's go into some quick pencil facts. How much time do I got? Oh, tons of time. We can do so many facts right now. You're welcome, everybody. You ready? First one. The average tree. That's it. And then they invented the pencil sharpener and all sorts of stuff.
Right.
It really was a non-remarkable invention.
Are you kidding me? It's the most remarkable invention. I love pencils.
I could have gone into the space pen and why they were spending $150,000
a pencil. For essentially a pencil. Mm-hmm.
You know, or $1,500 a pencil to go into space. And then the astronauts would ride on it and the tip would break and it'd fly off. And then you'd breathe it in and it'd lodge in your lungs. That's why they invented the space pen. Anyway,
oh, no kidding,
I digress.
Really?
Yep. And it was really expensive. The pencils were from Texas Instruments. Ah, man, I'm off on tangent. Here we go. Back. The average tree can create around 170,000 pencils.
Whoa.
170,000 pencils from the average tree. I don't know what the average tree is.
That's a good point. Like, what kind
what
of tree
kind,
is it?
What kind of tree
How big
are we talking?
Is it?
But 100, that's a lot of pencils.
Mm-hmm.
Number two pencils is the HB scale like we talked about. And American pencils use number two on their pencils. And there's no standard measurement for graphite hardness or color. So it's completely arbitrary. So Mr. Dixon just decided this one's a number two and this one's a number three. And someone else could say, sure, mine's a number six. We don't know.
It doesn't matter, really?
It doesn't matter. There needs to be a body, a pencil, HB scale body.
I'll head that up.
Okay, Jess is going
to. I will head that up.
It's graphite and not lead. Mm-hmm. And it comes from graphite. The name comes from the Greek word graphene, which literally means to write. So there you go. Next one. Both Ernest Hemingway and John Steinbeck, both great American authors, use pencils to write their famous books.
Yes, they did.
Do you know why?
No.
Because pencils are better
yes,
at everything.
They are.
But they last a lot longer than a ballpoint pen.
Mm-hmm.
There is a theory, unproven, that a pencil can draw a line 35 miles long. That's
really?
How much a pencil can draw. A pencil can write around 45,000 words, and they loved it. That's it. And they loved it. Those are the most ones that Hemingway
said. They loved it like I love it.
Uh-huh. There's its own holiday. There's World Pencil Day on March 30th.
What is this? I got to write this down.
I'm telling
you.
What
did you say?
March 30th, World Pencil Day.
March 30th.
This one, I got a conspiracy confliction on this next one. Why are pencils yellow?
Oh.
One said it was because of a Hungarian company that painted them yellow like a crown jewel of England, and so it became synonymous with high quality. This one said that the companies started doing it because of the color of royalty and respect associated with China, and American manufacturers wanted to indicate their pencils were made with Chinese graphite, which was superior.
Oh.
Either way, I don't know who came up with it first.
Do you think they just liked it because of...
School buses?
They liked it?
Yep.
Well, school buses wouldn't have been invented by then.
Yeah. A pencil sharpener was invented in 1828 by Bernard Lassimone. And ready? The last one. 15 billion pencils are produced in the world annually. That means everybody in the world can get two pencils every year.
Oh, good. Because
if we were in a socialist economy, everybody could get two pencils.
Exactly.
That's all you
two.
Need. Because it writes for 35 miles.
Until you lose it.
You really shouldn't need any more than, if I'm writing more than 35,000 or 35 miles,
uh-huh.
I'm writing too much.
Is it?
I'm writing too much. I should probably go outside. But if
oh
you laid them
gosh.
End to end, they would circle the world 62 times.
62?
Yep.
Gosh,
that's it.
I love pencils so much.
Kay.
Thank you for all these pencil facts.
You're welcome. That's it. That's all I got for pencils. You're welcome. Take all those facts, memorize them. So if you want to memorize it, you got to type it on your computer.
No.
So take all these pencil facts and type them in your computer so you memorize them.
But if you want to process
it. If you wrote
it,
this down with your pencil, you're just going to cognitively process it. And you say, yeah, pencils are pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And someone at your cocktail party is going to say, are they? Give me some cool facts.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, I should have typed it up. And
then
I would have memorized my facts.
Mm-hmm. All you know is that pencils are amazing.
Yep.
And now I know that March 30th is World Pencil Day. How have I not known until now?
Well, you're welcome. If you get nothing out of this episode,
okay.
Get World Pencil Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal. They have a parade? No, I don't think so.
Right.
They might somewhere.
Okay. You take your favorite pencil and you just walk down the...
You should. A pencil march.
Yeah, a little pencil march.
All right. So that's it. That's all I got for the history. So let's get into some science.
Yes.
Coffee and an action plan on pencils.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got to explain what the purpose of the pencil successful habit is. What are we really talking about?
Well, we're talking about writing things down so that we're processing things and we're memorizing things. Because I'm actually going to, because you're right. If you type on a computer what you want to memorize, you can memorize it better if you're typing it on an electronic. However, if you want to actually understand the material, that's when you're writing it.
Okay, so the habit today is not just being good at pencils. It's being good at taking in information and putting it into your cognition so you understand everything, mm-hmm. and you're just a more whole, well-rounded understanding of the world?
Yeah, well, and I'm going to tell you, because we live in an electronic world, so I doubt everyone's only going to use pencils for the rest of their lives. Like, that's just not going to be a thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you how to do it so that you can get the benefits of both and still use pencils, because pencils are amazing.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, so the group of studies that I found that I spent way too long on was the Consortium for Applied Neuroscience in 2021, and it's a conglomerate of studies that's paper notebooks versus mobile devices, brain activation differences between memory retrieval, etc.
Oh, this was such a good read. I loved when Darcy has all prejudice against the prideful people in this one. Is this what we're talking about?
No.
All right, keep going.
I really did read every single word,
though. I believe it.
Yeah, I really did. So the main studies that I want to cover over today. So the first one, we're going to talk about people who avoid starting because of adverse consequences. So procrastination.
Okay.
Okay. So if you are a big procrastinator because we're worried about the outcomes of whatever we're doing, a pencil is a good choice. And what it does is it minimizes our tendency to otherwise obsess over adverse consequences. So they're not 100% sure why this is, but it tends to be what they theorize, is that we worst case scenario everything. And with a pencil, you can erase it. It's not a big deal. You can throw away the paper. No big deal. No one's seeing these things.
Okay.
So it actually reduces the anxiety that goes along with procrastination.
So you get out your pencil and your paper and you start writing a plan. And if it sucks, you throw it away or you erase it.
Yep.
So it's not set in stone.
Yep. Not set in stone.
So anybody who uses a lead stylus and a tablet, like a wooden graphite or like tablet, mm-hmm. what's the granite tablet?
Mm-hmm.
You better not be a procrastinator.
Don't be a procrastinator. Okay. So the actual feel of a pencil. So like when you actually hold a pencil and the pressure points that it has on your fingers, which the pressure points, here's the argument. The pressure points are the same with a pen as with a pencil because we write the same with those two things. But the actual feel of a pencil, which is different than a pen.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It is. So not only do you have the ability to change your answer, obviously, right? But it elicits a parasympathetic response. So when we're looking for a parasympathetic response, we talked about this in previous episodes with like the exhale, the, oh my gosh, I'm going to mess this up because I'm on pressure here. The acetylcholine. Yes. The acetylcholine is the hormone that's released when our heart rate is reduced. So it's a parasympathetic response. If our heart goes down, then our breathing will go down. It has a snowball effect within the whole body.
So we relax.
We relax.
Okay.
And previous episodes, we talked about exhales. Exhales reduce the heart rate and snowball effect. You start calming down, parasympathetic response, right?
Right.
Actually, holding a pencil elicits the same amount of the hormone to create a parasympathetic response.
So the same amount of acetylcholine mm-hmm. with holding a pencil as what?
As your exhale. When we talked about the concentrating on an exhale to calm down.
Right.
Same as holding a pencil.
So when your yogi says, we're going to do some breathing exercise, you say, I'm good. I'm holding a pencil.
Holding a pencil.
Okay.
Don't do it. So part of these things, they did a bunch of studies in which they took MRI scans and they looked at how your brain reacted with a pencil writing and then with your digital writing.
So typing on a computer or writing with a pencil.
Yes. So what they found is that that's true. When you are using your computer, you are more likely to memorize the items, right? And because it's uniform, you can hit your points, you can highlight that kind of thing. But if you actually want to process the information and be able to have it malleable to other subjects, that's where the writing comes in.
Okay.
Okay. So with this, when they took something that was digitally notes taken, and then they had the people pick out the points that they wanted to really process if they wrote them down, you would get the benefits of both worlds. And this is why they think this is the case. So, parts of your brain that are optimal for memory encoding, it actually processes better when you write them.
Wait, so go say that again.
Memory encoding.
Encoding.
Encoding, not retrieval, but encoding.
Okay.
So you can take when you're taking in the information, you're processing it, but when it becomes to verbatim retrieval of that, it doesn't have the same effect. That's where that computer-generated piece comes in. And the reason why is our brain actually is not very good at memorizing things that are not really uniform. So like if we're taking our computer, everything's very uniform, all the letters are the same, right?
Right.
So we can take that and be like, oh yes, this subject I need to memorize these different points, and we can kind of visualize the way it is. But if we're processing it and we want to apply it, as we write things down, we tend to have what's called personal flair, and the actual page itself is very unique. And so when you're looking at it as a picture, so like the full page is a picture, then our brain actually takes in that information differently and processes it as a picture versus the actual memorization when you're trying to do exact recall.
That makes sense. Is that why when I read a textbook, I forget it the next day?
Yeah, I mean, because it's all, unless it's very colorful, and I'm going to give you some hacks and stuff to kind of move around that, but you see it differently if it's a computer-generated text versus if you've written it with your own personal flair.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's also faster. Paper data book only takes 11 minutes. A tablet, like from scratch. A tablet takes about 14 minutes and a smartphone takes 16.
For what?
If you're taking in information and putting it down in these different versions.
Different mediums. Mm-hmm. So it's fast to go with pencil?
It's fast to go with pencil. And then our eyes. So the way that our eyes process scrolling information. So if I have my computer generated piece, my eyes will track like they teach us in school. You start on the left and you move to the right and you scan it, right? As you go as you're reading.
Sure.
But when you are actually scrolling with your eyes on a notebook, Your eyes do this kind of interesting zigzag motion. So you're not going from left to right like you typically would with if you're reading like what I printed out here, sure. Right? It's moving along. So not only are you taking in the actual, because you can read it, obviously, you're reading it, you're taking in the image itself. So it goes back to that taking like a snapshot of your picture.
Interesting. And if you ever watch your eyes or someone else's eyes when people read, mm-hmm. your eyes are all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a linear motion.
It's not.
It is back
yeah.
and forth all over. When you were saying when you read handwritten stuff, you actually jump up and down as well, not just left and right.
Yeah, because you're very rarely can someone make uniform like letters all the way through.
Right.
And so our eyes actually skip around on the lines up and down along with left to right.
Brains are amazing. Eyes are amazing. How is this? This is got to be the Matrix. There's no way that this just happenstance.
Right?
It's crazy. Okay.
So cool.
I like that.
Yep.
So that's what happens to our brains when we write with a pencil.
Yes.
So if you want to understand what you're learning, write it with a pencil. Take notes with a pencil.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to regurgitate it 2 days from now, mm-hmm. type it down, and then you're probably going to forget it because you're not recalling it.
Right. Because you're not actually
processing it. You can recall it initially, but you're not processing it, which means it gets kicked out and doesn't go into long-term memory.
Yep.
All right. Makes sense. I like it.
Isn't that crazy?
Pretty crazy. We're going to get more pencils.
We're going to get more.
We got to buy
more pencils.
Dixon number 2 pencils.
That's right.
Okay. Well, let's get into a quick coffee review mm-hmm. or coffee segment, I should say.
Yes.
And then an action plan on just how to be a better learner by utilizing these pencils.
By utilizing all these mediums. I'm actually going to talk about how to life hack all of them.
Oh, I like it. Here we go.
I drank pots and pots and pots and pots of strong black coffee, trying to keep my sleepy soul awake. But the sleepiness still comes along, and when it does, it's fast and strong. I end up with a bad case of the shakes.
Okay, first I need to announce our February winner.
Oh, we got a winner?
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Winner, chicken dinner. Who is it?
And
drum roll, please.
This month is Kim.
Kim wins the hat.
She's going to get a hat.
She's
going to get a notebook.
Whoa.
Yeah.
A double win?
And then maybe a high five.
Oh my gosh.
If we can meet
through
in person
airwaves.
just to high five it.
All right. There you go.
Thank you.
And a notebook. Thank you, Kim, for signing up for the newsletter.
and engaging us. And she actually sent me an email as well saying, hey.
That's why she won two things, because she sent over the email and she emailed you. That's a double win.
Two times in the raffle.
All right. There you go.
It's so awesome. So thank you, Kim.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Yes. We really do enjoy, if you can't tell, by all our quippy jokes and all of our, you know, pleasant banter. Mm-hmm. We really do enjoy this. And we couldn't do it without you all. So thanks for listening. Send us more information.
Yes.
Well, send us some ideas. Say hi to Jesse.
Yep.
We love it.
The Morning Struggle Podcast at gmail.com. Yeah.
Or themorningstruggle.podbean.com is the website. It's all there, too.
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay. Coffee segment. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so this is a bit of a conglomerate of all the really fun pencil facts that I found because, like I said, I was very excited about pencils, and here we are. So there is a Crondy Ake Swisswood FSC pencil.
What is that?
So it is a pencil that is, it's actually 100% recycled.
Okay.
But 25% of it, of the actual in the lead, even though now we know it's graphite, is 25% is coffee grounds.
What? So get out of the towns. It's a coffee pencil.
It's a coffee pencil. So you're writing with coffee grounds.
You'd probably be more alert when you write with that pencil.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's really pricey. So for a set of three, it's $26.95.
Whoa, those are NASA pencils.
Those are NASA pencils.
Those are, they better smell amazing. That's all I got to say.
That's the thing, is I was going to buy some and I was like, oh, hold on. Nope.
Yeah, that's careful.
For three pencils?
We're a little show. Yeah. We don't have a giant coffee pencil budget.
We're not even covering like our coffee consumption, let alone the coffee pencils. Yeah. Okay. So why does your coffee taste like a pencil?
Why does your coffee taste like a pencil?
So there's two reasons.
Oh, this isn't a joke?
This is not a joke. Okay. Yeah. So there's actually two things. So coffee beans have a fiber when they're getting roasted. And coffee beans have vary in the fiber that surrounds the actual bean.
The husk of the coffee, okay.
And so as it's getting roasted, a lot of that flavor goes into the bean.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we get the kind of aroma that reminds you of wood. And
it's your woody, nutty taste.
Yeah, and that's when they're referring, like on the front, you see like hints of pecan or hints of hickory or whatever that is.
It's just husk.
It's husk. Yeah, it's not
hints
actual.
Of husk.
Yeah, it's not as sexy, is it?
Okay.
But it has nothing to do with actual wood. It has to do with the husk that's around the bean as it gets roasted.
Okay.
Interesting, huh?
Very interesting.
And then another reason, which is less tasty, is that the coffee ground has been ground too fine, and so it becomes very woody, silty, and bitter.
Okay, so if you grind your coffee too much, it tastes like pencils?
So, yes, it'll taste like pencil shavings, and especially if it's been ground too finely and then left. So, I mean, you know, with espresso, it's very, very fine when you're grinding it. Because you brew it immediately, you won't get the same kind of pencil-y taste. But if it is ground and then sits in a bag somewhere.
Because it oxidizes. Mm-hmm. And the finer it is, the more it oxidizes. But yeah, I never thought it tasted pencil shavey.
But it does,
Does.
Once you
think about it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So next time you have a cup of coffee that's from already pre-ground beans, you're going to say, oh, Jesse.
Tastes like a pencil.
Now I know it tastes like pencils. I might as well go just chew on a graphite pencil.
Speaking of which.
Yes, I hear it.
Because people chew on their pencils. How many cups of coffee are you most likely to start chewing on your pencil?
Six.
Two.
Two cups of coffee.
Two cups of coffee you're more likely to chew on your pencil, and the impulse subsides after 3.5.
Because you're dying at that point.
That's because your
heart is literally exploded, and you're probably in the hospital.
Exactly.
No way.
Exactly.
3.5 cups. That's nothing.
3.5. I know.
The Finns, they drink 3.5 cups before they start brewing the regular pot of coffee. That's their pre-coffee coffee.
Whoa. And I feel like today we've had a lot of coffee.
We have.
But this is 3.5 and you stop chewing on your pencil.
Okay. So I do. I'm at 2.5 right now and I'm urging. I'm urging on chewing on some pencils. We don't have any pencils.
Not out here.
All right. All right. Well, let's get back in. Is that it for coffee review?
That's it for the coffee segment.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's get back into the action plan. And you'll tell us how to hack each one of these mediums when you're learning something and how you can improve on it.
Yeah, how to make it most effective for you.
Most effective. I like it. Here we go.
Let's hope you make the most of it, my boy.
Okay, so if you tend to have anxiety, let's say you're in class, let's say that you're trying to learn something, you're at a conference, whatever the thing is. If you're starting to feel anxious about retaining the information, hold a pencil.
Hold a pencil.
Because the acetylcholine will enact the parasympathetic response, and then you will actually be calmer, which makes it so not only, you're writing it, so you're already going to process it, mm-hmm. but your body is more ready to take in the information that you're also listening to.
Okay, so no pens.
No pens.
You got to get your pencil. So in my little folio, uh-huh. called folios,
uh-huh.
with my notepad in it, when yeah. I go to my conference,
mm-hmm.
I don't take out my pen because that's not going to give me a parasympathetic response. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to retain any of this information. I get out my pencil and they say, would you like a crayon with your pencil? Will you sign this binding document in pencil so I can erase it later?
Well, so here's the thing. With the pen, with the handwriting piece, you will process it with a pen.
Okay.
So I'm not taking away that from you. So if okay. you want to process it, use a pen. That's fine.
Okay.
But if you're looking to actually have a parasympathetic response, for whatever reason, it's the weight of the pencil on the pressure points in your hand.
If you want to do it right, get a pencil.
Get a pencil.
Okay.
But if you're going to sign a document that's legally binding, I suggest pen.
Do they have a pen that's octagonal or hexagonal that is the weight of a pencil?
I was looking into this actually, and it seems like it's less about, it's like the actual pencil weight. The pencils are actually quite light.
Mm-hmm.
Pens, on the other hand, have weight differences within right. the unit.
Uh-huh.
And so it's, it seems like it's more about the weight difference, how it changes with, yeah, and it's the pencil uniform, which you can't get with a pen because a pen has ink that's actually pushed down. I'm holding up a pen right now.
She is.
To really, but it with a pencil, obviously, you don't have any shift in weight because there's no difference. Yeah.
Okay, so it's got to be a pencil.
But then I went down the rabbit hole of like how heavy your eraser is and all of that. It doesn't seem to have
okay.
any, yeah.
Anyway.
So anyway, that is what your parasympathetic response, get a pencil. If you really need to memorize something and process it, I recommend writing it down in a computer type setting. It's usually faster. People are usually faster typers when they're trying to bring things in. But then take the points that you really want to be able to apply to many different scenarios and write it down. Or vice versa, you write it down and then you put it into your computer, the points that you would really like to just memorize.
Okay, so you're getting both. You're getting memorization and conceptualization.
Yeah.
If you do both.
So whichever one you feel more, faster at or more inept at, then you're going to want to do that, to take your notes and then move it into the other type. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense.
Especially like, let's say that you have, what is it when we flip our... dyslexia.
Okay.
If you have dyslexia, a computer is a fantastic way to take notes and then take that and move it into some sort of written, and then therefore you'll be able to process it and read it because you'll have your digital notes. But then you get the benefits of everything. I think it's fantastic.
Okay.
Journaling in general, I'm just going to add this in. Journaling is good if you need to process emotion or an event. So
journaling with pencil?
Journaling with a pencil.
Okay.
So you're going to have a parasympathetic response with your pencil. You're going to be able to use your emotion or write out your emotion, and journaling is actually really good for processing. And so it's a best of all worlds.
Okay. I like it.
I love it so much. Okay. Pencil drawing and doodling. Same parasympathetic response, but you also kind of get into like a mind state where it's almost like a meditation.
Okay.
So if we're drawing, but not drawing necessarily something specific, you can actually use it as a meditation as well.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I have my little section about, sorry, I'm digital. I'm not going to be writing anything down. I'm never going to buy a pencil. Stop telling me to do this, lady.
Right.
And so what with this one, how do we make it so our digital documents are almost as effective as our written?
We use the white pencil, the pencil with the e-ink thing.
What is that?
The It's like the Kindle, but you have a pen on it. The Kindle with a pen.
Yes, where you can draw on the text and highlight and things like that. That's exactly it. I didn't even think of that, actually.
You're welcome.
But what they found but what they found in the study is that if you use different colors, different shapes, if you have arrows, highlights, and then other personal flares, which include doodles,
mm-hmm.
then you are able to bring all of those elements into a digital format.
So maybe get one of those tablets that you can also have a pen with.
Yes,
but you're not getting the parasympathetic response.
You're not with a tablet pen. No,
okay.
There's something about the pencil specifically. I'm assuming.
I bet you it's smell too.
I bet it has something to do with the smell as well, because there's a different smell to after you sharpen a pencil.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a good thing.
I'm gonna invent a tablet pen mm-hmm. or pencil, like a little tablet stylus,
mm-hmm.
where you push a little button and it gives you a whiff of of pencil sharpening. And you'll be like, that's, oh, is that stale idea. Coffee? Like, is this a stale coffee stylus?
I'm like, yeah, yeah. Actually, right. It's both things. And if it comes down to you're really not taking in this information, you've highlighted it, you've doodled on it, you've done all the things, I recommend, and this is actually what I do for this show, is I print off my segment pieces, mm-hmm. and then I highlight and move it around that way, because even though this is a very uniform text that I have here, because I've typed it up and printed it, my eye is different on an actual paper versus how I would scroll on a computer.
Oh.
So, because with scrolling on a computer, it's very fluid.
Mm-hmm.
With actual paper, like, I'm even moving it as I'm looking at it.
Very zigzaggy.
Very zigzaggy. And so, as your eye moves along, it not only is going left to right, but it's going up and down. And so, I'm taking in the entire image, and I'm actually bringing it in where it's actually most effective for both processing and memorizing.
Okay, so this is the anti-tree episode, because you need to cut down a lot of trees for
anti-tree.
Pencils, and you need to print off all your papers.
I'm just saying, if you want those...
One tree makes 170,000 pencils. I just need two of them.
You just need two.
I only need two pencils.
That's right. Well, and that's the thing, is you can reuse paper. Recycling's really important. Now I feel really bad,
you
but
should.
This is what this is.
No.
Recycle your things. There's all kinds of recycled pencils that you can get online too.
See? Okay. So there's ways to do it and still be good to the earth.
Right. But the whole idea is that we're taking both our ability to memorize and process and bring it together so it's the most effective. And it's pencils. Pencils are amazing.
I did not think you would be successful at this episode when you said we're doing pencils. This was great.
This was
I'm
cool.
Legit going to remove my pen or get another slot for a pencil in my my folio, my little binder thing
right.
that I take to all the conferences and my
keeper.
Meetings, my trapper keeper, with Zach Morris from the Saves by the Bell
exactly.
on it.
Exactly.
Everybody knows I'm the cool kid. But no, so when I go to write, I'm going to write with my pencil.
Yep.
Not my pen. I'm going to get a parasympathetic response. Mm-hmm. I like this one. I'm doing this one now. This is implement now.
Yep,
this
just get a pencil.
This is not 21 days from now. Hopefully I can maintain it. It's just go buy a pencil.
Yep, and start
this
using it.
This is the easiest one ever. Check it off the box.
Boom.
One habit down. 70 more to go.
That's right.
Okay, I really do like this one. It makes sense. It's backed by science. And we love science.
We love science,
you love
and
science,
I love pencils.
And you love pencils.
So much.
Okay, I like it. You're going to start the Pencil Society to make sure everybody's pencils are up to standard and code.
Exactly.
None of this arbitrary stuff.
Mm-mm.
And then you're going to march in the Pencil Day Parade. So
on March 30th.
On March 30th of the year. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We really hope you're doing, you're enjoying incorporating these habits into your life.
Yes.
So why don't we all go out there and
build a better you.
Thanks, guys.